But it's not a word that we use too often. But it's a word that the translators created. It's a transliteration from the Greek word parakletos that Jesus used to describe the role of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to, first of all, unpack that word a little bit this morning, because it's not a word that we're used to using that often, paraclete. But it has a depth of meaning. And the reason why they created this word is they couldn't find an equivalent English word that would really grasp the depth of meaning of this Greek word. And so we're reading here in John chapter 14. I'm reading from the NIV. It says this: "If you love me, keep my commands." Verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, for before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am you." That just sounds like a really complicated math equation, doesn't it? "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." It's this passage here where Jesus talks about this one that is coming, and he calls, the NIV translates here, the advocate. I just want to introduce this a little bit by way of saying that God is not a man. Now, I know he came as a man, but God in heaven is not a man, right? And our theology, our definition of God, is that he is, we use this word omni, which means all. He is omnipresent. He's all present. He's omnipotent, which means he's all powerful and he's all knowing. So God is not a man and he's all powerful. That means that God is, by our theology, outside of the natural world. He lives outside of time. He lives outside of the constraints of our natural world. He's not natural. God is supernatural. He is not just mighty, he's almighty, right? Amen? Do we believe this? Amen. We believe this, right? I'm not teaching some heresy here. He's almighty, he's all powerful. However, I have discovered that we as people, as human beings, are very uncomfortable when an all-powerful, almighty God begins to show up in our lives. We like to put God down into a space that we would sort of define as something human. We actually like to reduce God back down to being a man. But he's not a man. He's powerful. He's mighty. He is the source of all power and all life and all. And I say that because so often when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and we begin to talk about the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, it goes out beyond the natural. He goes out beyond that which we sometimes feel comfortable with, and he begins to take us into a realm that is in the supernatural, and it's there that we start to say things, oh, don't let a church get out of control. Don't let things get crazy. Don't let the Pentecostal up there with the microphone again. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because we are all a little worried. But, you know, hold on. Our theology says that he's all-powerful. He's not a man. He's God. He created the universe. And I just think we've got to be not so afraid to allow God to be God in our lives. And I just to say that as a way of introduction to encourage us. So I've got a lot here I want to talk about this morning. I want to first of all talk about the concept someone came up with. You can have a think about it, whether you agree with it or not, called the Father Ladder. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. And our body gives us, you know, where we get protection, provision, our souls, the realm that we relate with one another, companionship, communication. And our spirit is that space of comfort and teaching. And if you relate that to our natural family, you will see that that's where often the father, mother, and siblings come in. On the next slide there, hopefully coming up. There we go. So we have our father, and our father often gives us identity, protection, and then we have our siblings and friends that we have relationship with, and then our mother is the one who often gives comfort and teaching in our lives. This is a generalization, obviously, but it's It's kind of the normal way. And so on the next slide there, next one as well, someone has related that to Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I just put that up there to say, when we talk about the Father heart of God, often we put that through the mirror of our own father that we had, and so often that there needs to be some healing there because there's been father wounds in our lives. And people that have had terrible relationships with siblings and friends often struggle to relate with Jesus. And in like manner, the Holy Spirit often brings some of the comfort and the maternal nature of God into our lives. And so some of us that have had bad relationships with our mothers may actually, or there's a mother wound in our life from a natural or a spiritual mother, may actually struggle to relate in some way with the Holy Spirit. I had a friend who his mother passed away when he was young, and he had a great dad, solo dad, raised him and looked after him, and he said to me he'd always struggled to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. When I saw this, I thought, oh, I wonder if that's why there's that connection there. So that may be something that you need to get some ministry for and some prayer for in your life. But I want to investigate this word, the paraclete. In John chapter 16, we read this. It says this, nevertheless, in the King James Version, the old King James Version says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That's the word, the paraclete. The King James Version translated this as the Comforter. And it's where we get this understanding that the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and comforts us. And the King James Version probably translated this as the Comforter because of a translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek. It was called the Septuagint, if I pronounce that correctly, which was translated by, so the story goes, 70 scholars who translated the old Hebrew text into Greek, and they took a phrase which meant comfort in Hebrew, and they translated it into this Greek word paraclete, parakletos. And so the King James translators translated that backwards to being comfort in the English. And there's definitely a sense that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. But this word is probably not the best translation. And in fact, it's not the word comfort in terms of how we think of it, as somebody who comes alongside someone who is upset or is sad and gives them a hug and kind of gives them some tissues and comforts them. Now, there is a role that the Holy Spirit has in our lives like that, except that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is more akin to make you not only be comforted, but to stand up on your feet and to be able to face life again and to begin to move forward again. I recall at my brother's funeral when he was 18 years old, he passed away in a car crash. And it was a distressing time for us as a family, and it was quite a difficult time. But as we were lowering him into the grave, I remember God speaking to me through something that happened in that moment, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm still on the throne, God's still on the throne, it's going to be okay, and you can move forward from this. And in an instant, that grief that I was feeling was lifted, and although I still miss my brother, still grieve for him, there was a sense that God encouraged my heart, and I was able to stand up and move forward again. And I think that's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He comes not just to comfort us in our trouble, but to lift us out of our trouble and to move us forward. And so the King James translators translated this word paraclete as the comforter. And indeed, that's the role that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. The New King James translated this, we're moving through the ages here, translated this word as the helper. The helper. The Father, he will give you another one, the helper. The paraclete, they said, it's more like the helper. This word paraclete, if you think of some other words like parachute, parachurch, paralegal, you know, lots of parallel. Para means to come alongside. Two parallel lines are those who come alongside of one another. A parachute is a chute that comes alongside of you when you need it. A parrot is something that repeats your words back to you. Paralegal comes alongside the lawyer and helps them in their job. And so the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's the one who comes alongside of us and helps us to possess and to know truth and that life that God wants us to have. I heard the story of a man who went on a cruise, and he was a nice guy, and he booked a ticket to go on one of those fancy cruises. My wife Susie's been trying to convince me to go on one of those things, but I'm not that good on boats. I normally end up throwing up, so I'm kind of a little bit wary of that. And this guy booked a cruise, and he didn't really have enough money for the fancy food. He just had enough money to get the ticket to get on the boat. And so he got on the boat, and he thought, okay, and he thought, I've just got to, you know, want to have a good time. So he took some crackers and some cheese and a bunch of other kind of canned tin food that he would keep in his cabin. And when everyone else would go off to have the fancy food, he would just have his crackers and cheese. And he had a good time. He had a great time. He just, wanted to, keep things on the down low. And he was an outgoing guy, and he got on with a lot of people, and he got to meet the captain, and him and the captain really hit it off, and he got to go up to the, whatever the place is called, where they steer the ship, and he's up there, and that night, it was the final night of the cruise, the captain wanted to honor him for just being a really nice guy, and so the captain at the dinner, would call people up to his table, and he called out his name, and nobody could find him, they didn't know where he was, and so they just sort of moved on. The next day, as he was leaving the boat, the captain saw him and said to him, "Hey, where were you last night at dinner?" And he's a bit embarrassed. And he said, "Oh, look, I couldn't really afford the food, I just got the ticket for the boat." And the captain said to him, "Didn't you realize when you bought the ticket, all your meals were paid for? Oh, my friend," he said, "you could have had any food any time you wanted on the boat." And the guy was like, "Ah, gutted." And I think there's a lot of Christians who live their lives like that. We live our lives with crackers and cheese. And there's a helper there. There's a lot more there. The helper's called the Holy Spirit. And some of us are missing out on the life that God has intended for us because the Holy Spirit brings so much to us. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about the fact that how amazing was Jesus dying on the cross? We're about to celebrate that at Easter, right? Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. Got a question for you. In the first 50 days after that, how many people got saved after that incredible work of the cross? How many people got saved? None, right? Nobody got saved for 50 days. Nobody got saved until the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. And then 3,000 got saved. When I thought of that, I thought, that kind of blows my brain a bit because I am so in awe of what Jesus did for me on the cross. But until Pentecost, until the Holy Spirit was poured out, nobody got saved. That work that was accomplished wasn't actually brought into anybody's life. That's worth thinking about when we think about how then important is the Holy Spirit in our lives? Have we kind of minimized him a little bit, but not allowed him to come and really be all that he needs to be in our lives? The NIV translated this word as the advocate, as we read earlier. John 15:26, when the advocate comes. And this is quite a good word to translate the paraclete as, because the paraclete was actually a legal term. It was somebody who would come in a court of law, and one of the uses of this word, they would stand there and they would advocate for their friend who was on trial. It even was used to refer to the lawyer in some settings who would represent the person who was on trial and would advocate on their behalf and say, "No, I know this person," and talk of their character and advocate for them before the judge. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes and he advocates for us. Many of us have developed over our lives belief systems and lies that have held us captive to certain behaviors, certain habits that are unhealthy in our lives. And the moment we can receive the truth about those things, we can be set free from them. And so the Holy Spirit, one of the ways the Holy Spirit helps us is that he reveals to us the truth that sets us free. And he comes and brings that truth to our hearts and to our spirits and our minds and causes us to no longer be trapped in that lie and in that habit, but to be set free in through the Word of God. Romans chapter 8 says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through groanings, through words that cannot be uttered. He's an advocate. He's one who comes and helps us, who gets along and intercedes for us. He doesn't just help us in what we're doing, but he helps us on what's going on the inside of us. There's another word, though, that I wanted to kind of, I think, really captures this word paraclete, and it's this word, the encourager. William Barclay, when he translated the scriptures, said that the most common use of this word in Greek times was when an army would go out to battle, they would have a special person who is called the paraclete. This guy's role was not to have a weapon, not to fight, but was simply there to bring encouragement to the troops and wisdom and perspective to the army after the battle. And so if they lost the battle, it was the role of the paraclete to come along and say, look, you've lost the battle, but we haven't yet lost the war. And to encourage them that, remember what we're fighting for. We're fighting for our families, and we're fighting for this. And if they won the battle, it was the role of the paraclete to come alongside of them and say, you know what, don't get too big-headed. We might have won a battle, but we haven't yet won the war. And they said that the defining difference often when two armies were facing off with one another as to who would win the war was often down to how good the paraclete was. How the wisdom and the advice and the encouragement that was given was able to lift the troops to be able to fight the war and the battle that was there. And so Jesus uses this word, paraclete, to describe the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is the one who comes alongside of us and encourages us. When we're down, when we're feeling weak, we need to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, how to actually engage and learn how to do life with his help and with his strength and with his encouragement, and hear the words that he wants to speak to us. I want to live my life not just doing this Christian walk on my own, but I want to be someone who is really hungry for the Holy Spirit, somebody who's really walking with the Spirit of God. I know what it's like. I say, hey, I'm a Pentecostal, but I know what it's like to just go through the motions and do life and be serving God and then realize, man, I've drifted away from where God wants me to be. I need to get back to listening to the Holy Spirit and get him back on track, get me back on track with where I need to be. Anybody hear what I'm saying? We can go through the motions. We can be doing things with, a good heart, but it's like, just missing something here. There's a fruitfulness lacking here. There's something that's not quite right here, and we need to learn to hear the Holy Spirit. So I want to give us some practical kind of ways that I find that I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. It's so important that we actually learn to keep in step with the Spirit. And I've just listed down some ways that I want to go through here pretty quickly here this morning to give us some ideas on how that we can start to actually really develop a better relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first one is this, the inner witness. How do we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5 tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if we're going to be people that are walking with the Spirit of God, how do we keep in step with the Spirit? How do we actually learn to do this Christian life with the Holy Spirit? Sometimes it sounds very like out there, airy-fairy. What does that actually mean? You know what I'm talking about? But I want to just give us some actual practical stuff this morning, okay? So the first one is this, that we would learn to recognize the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It's what we call the inner knowing. It's this knowing on the inside that God has spoken to me about something. God has spoken to me. I just know that I'm called to be a missionary. I know that God wants me to do this this thing for him. And these verses here, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. One of the inner witnesses that we will have is truth from God's word. You get a revelation that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. It's not head knowledge. It's something down here. The Holy Spirit reveals that deep down on the inside of us. And the inner witness of the Holy Spirit can also speak to us about issues in our lives, about who we are to marry, about what job we should be taking, about how to solve a problem at school or at work that we're facing. He can speak to us and give us an inner witness of peace about what we are to do in that situation. And now it's really important to learn to discern between the inner witness of the Spirit of God and the inner witness of your emotions. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? As people, young people come to me, I just know I'm supposed to marry that person. And now you're just infatuated and being led by your emotions, not really by the Holy Spirit. And that's, you know, quite difficult at first to be able to discern the difference between those two when I'm being caught up and carried away with my emotions and when I'm learning to hear from the Holy Spirit. I think the hard work here is surrendering ourselves to God, surrendering and clearing the slate, if you like, of our own heart agendas and saying, it's not my will, but your will, not my will, but your will. And now where I'm in that place where I'm really genuinely and honestly ready to hear whether God says this or a third option I haven't even thought of, then I'm ready to hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God's not as difficult as preparing your heart to hear the voice of God. Anybody hear what I'm saying here this morning? So getting that inner witness, the hard work I find is just surrendering. God, don't send me to Africa. Don't send me to Africa. Okay, if you say I have got to go to Africa, then, you know, getting my heart in a place where I'm willing to do whatever he says. This is where Jesus, right, before the cross, is sweating this blood. He's like, man, not my will, but your will be done. That's hard work. That's hard work sometimes to get your own will and your own heart in a place where you're willing to hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. But yeah, the inner witness is one of the ways we can hear. The second way is the Word of God. I think the Holy Spirit will, whenever he can, will speak to us a scripture. The Word of God, which is the Spirit, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians tells us. So the Holy Spirit's sword is the Word of God. So he will speak to us the Word of God. I want to encourage you in this way. If you're faced with a dilemma or a situation, can you pray this? Holy Spirit, is there a scripture you want to give me that will help me right now? Now, that he will often have a scripture to give you in the middle of that situation. Pastoring in Manurewa can be fun. And there was a day where I was down in our auditorium and somebody was pounding on a set of doors like that down the back. And I was just there in the middle of the week, and so I went over and opened the door to see what was going on. And there was this guy, I'm sure he was fairly high, and he had a rock in his hand. And he said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes, I'm a pastor. He said, good, because I came to kill a pastor. And at that moment, I said a quick prayer. Help God. And in a second, a verse I had not read for 10 years, hadn't been thinking about it all, shot through me. It was from Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath. Just went, phew. And this is why it's so important to read the scripture. The Holy Spirit just went, boom, soft answer turns away wrath. So I held the door there and I said, how are you? And talked very softly like this for quite some time. And within about 5 minutes, he put the rock down. He cried. He said, I don't need to kill a pastor today. I said, praise Jesus. And I prayed for him and sent him on his way and threw the rock away. But you know, that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke a scripture into me that saved my life, that helped me there. The Holy Spirit will often bring a scripture. Ask him. I'm in this middle of this problem with my work, my marriage, my finances. Is there a verse you want to give me? Just ask that question and you'll be surprised how quickly he'll bring a scripture back to your memory. And then you need to maybe meditate on that, think about that, because he loves to speak to us through the Word of God. Amen? Number three, leadings. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. This is those moments where the Holy Spirit just leads us to do something. That, you know, hey, come on, how many of us would have done this, you know? The Holy Spirit doesn't say, go to the chariot, stay near it, and there'll be a guy there that you're supposed to share the gospel with and water baptize him and lead him. He'll go back to his country and lead a revival, and Ethiopia will be a better nation for it. He doesn't say that. He just says, go and run alongside the chariot. So, okay. You know what I mean? Come on. Come on. How many of us would do that? I feel this prompting. Go run beside that guy who's riding his bike. You know? I got to be honest. It's that'd be a little bit like, okay, you know? But so often the Holy Spirit will just say, go talk to that person. You don't know where the conversation is going to go. We're like, oh, I need to know God what to say. I need to know God what's going to happen. I need to know God. I don't know if I'm smart enough. God, send someone else, please. I'll just pray from here. Come on, let's be honest here. Probably many of us have felt those leadings of the Holy Spirit and done nothing about it. The Holy Spirit's saying, just go. I need somebody to go. I need someone to go and talk to that person. Just go run alongside the chariot, Philip. Philip runs alongside the chariot. This guy's reading the scripture. He says, do you know what you're reading about? The guy says, no idea. Oh, let me get up. He says, come up here and tell me about it. Baptizes him. He goes back to Ethiopia, leads a revival there. It's an amazing story of just being led by the Spirit of God. Who thinks that would be exciting, right? Imagine a church full of people. Imagine all the churches in our community being led by the Spirit of God. Just sometimes for me, how this happens is that God will just bring a person sort of to my mind all the time, like, why am I always thinking about that person? Okay, he wants me to pray for them. So I'll start praying for them and I'll be like, not even surprised if I'll bump into them that day or the next few days. So I'll be praying for that person and then I'll bump into them and I'll say like, man, I've been praying for you. Everything all right? And they're like, what? Well, I don't know why. I just felt to pray for you. Or sometimes it'll be so strong I'll be like, I need to have coffee with that person. I'll ring them up. Can we have coffee? And they're like, oh, what have I done? You know, the pastor wants to have coffee with me. I'm like, I don't know why. And if I try to figure it out, often I get it wrong. But if I just go and have coffee with them and talk with them, something comes up. I'm like, oh, that must be why I'm supposed to be here, just to encourage them in that. That's the leadings of the Holy Spirit. This is how we're supposed to do life, amen? Being led by the great paraclete, the Holy Spirit. What about this one? The check in your spirit. Maybe you're going to buy that car. Maybe you're going to make that deal, or you're about to launch into this new idea or thing, or you meet somebody and it's just like you have this check in your spirit. It's just like this, I call it like a knot in my stomach, and it's just an indication that, man, there's something not quite right here. I read the story of these two girls in Toronto. They're on holiday in Toronto in Canada, and they're both believers, and they were about to get onto this tram, and one of them felt this kind of check in her spirit, so she sort of went to step on a bit further, and her stomach just started turning to butterflies, just went all crazy, and she said to her friend, I don't think we should get on this tram. So they didn't, and they found their way back to their hotel another way. They watched the news a few hours later and saw that this very same tram had gone off the rails, flipped over, and that a number of people had died in this incident. And I thought, wow, that's an incredible story, really. Incredible testimony. How many people have had a check in their spirit, felt God saying, no, don't do that. Don't buy that car, or don't do that deal, or don't sort of get into that relationship, but have wanted it so bad they've ignored the check of the Holy Spirit, and then later on coming to the pastor, it's a mess, why does God hate me so much? And he doesn't hate you, he tried to warn you but you didn't listen, you know. So we've got to learn to discern the check of the Holy Spirit and to trust God in that. If he says no, it's probably for a good reason that we don't understand or see at this time. Then there's the quickenings of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that quickens. This literally means it's the Spirit that brings something alive, causes something to jump off the page. We're reading a verse and it's like the verse leaps off the page. That's the Holy Spirit quickening that, bringing that alive. The pastor's preaching and he says something and it's like that's the phrase that you hear and it sort of speaks to you. Don't buy that car. It's like, whoa, okay, I won't buy that car. You know, it's like this one phrase that was mentioned in the whole sermon, but it somehow spoke to you. Or you're in the Christian bookshop and you just walk along and this book just leaps off the shelf and it's like God says, you need to read that book. You need to study that book. That's the Holy Spirit quickening something to you in your life. And finally, there are visions. The language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter quoted this verse of Joel, said that he will In the last days, he will give visions and talks about dreams. Visions are, there's the most common vision of this, just in our mind's eye, when we just ask the Holy Spirit, is there something you want to show me? And he begins to paint a picture. He begins to show us a vision. And some of us go, I don't understand what that means. The thing with visions and dreams, even in the Bible, is that half the people who got them didn't really understand what they meant. They had to then go and ask God and seek God until they got some understanding about what they meant. So it's partly a... the reason I love visions so much, God speaks to me often with visions, is because it sort of takes my... the part of my brain out of the equation that's trying to figure stuff out. And it's just it's that artistic realm where he begins to paint a picture, and then I ask him, what does all that mean? And he tells me what it means. It's a realm that I can hear the voice of God on much more clearly than if I engaging in language and logic, I find my own brain tries to engage in that too much. And I think the reason why the Holy Spirit uses pictures is and visions and dreams is it's a way to kind of connect with that deeper aspect of who we are with our spirit and to bring truth and revelation to us. And so I hope this morning that you've got a little bit more hungry for this relationship with the Holy Spirit. That you're like, man, I want to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to know him more. I want to experience his love and his truth. Because the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, amen? And the Bible's filled with stories of the Holy Spirit. And he helps us in so many ways. He helps us in so many ways. And some of those ways, most of those ways, are outside of the natural realm. They're outside of that realm where we can feel totally in control. Some people, when the Holy Spirit begins to touch their life, some people cry. Some people laugh. Some people stand up strong. Some people fall on the ground. Some people speak in a new language. Some people, start to see visions and dreams. Some people, and there's so much that happens. I've seen all sorts of things that happen in the Holy Spirit. And we need to discern, you know, where all that is and where God is and all of that. But I've just seen so much of what God has done in my own life and what he's done in other people's lives to know that this relationship with the Holy Spirit is a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing for us to have church. And wherever you're at, can I encourage you today to hunger for more? Can I encourage you today to desire a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit? Maybe he's been trying to speak a vision to you, or he's been trying to lead you. He's been trying to speak to you, but you've kind of just been ignoring that, putting that to the side. And I just encourage you, just start to listen to him a little bit more and start to go, well, okay, I was a bit kind of... So often we're just fearful. I'll be honest. We're just worried. Like, oh, I don't know if I can live my life by that stuff. It seems just too airy, fairy. I'll just live my life by the principles of the Word of God and just do what I think is right. I think that's great. But, you know, truth and the Word is good, but we need the Spirit as well. Someone said if you just have the Word, you dry up. Just have the Spirit, you blow up. But if you have the Spirit and the Word together, you grow up into maturity. Amen? I think that's a great way to live. I'm not somebody who's just off in the Spirit but doesn't believe in the Word. I totally study the Word and honor the Word of God. But I think we need the Spirit of God in there as well in our lives to bring that energy and that strength. He only empowers the Scriptures. He only makes the Word of God more alive in our hearts. Amen? And so I just, yeah... That's my encouragement to you today, to be people of the Spirit of God and people of the Word of God together. I think we're going to have a worship time now, and it'd be my honor and my privilege to pray for you if you would like that. Really a couple of categories of people particularly. I mentioned at the start people who might have felt a mother wound in their life. I know if there's one or two here that just felt like, man, when you said that, that really spoke to me. I've had that wound in my life, and you would like to receive prayer for that. I'd love to pray for you. The other is people that just would like to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Would love to just lay hands on you to pray for you with your pastor here as well, and the elders, whoever the ministry team are, and just to believe for a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God upon your life, and for a fresh awakening of your own heart desire to connect with the Holy Spirit. And if God begins to touch your heart, begins to move on you, don't look at how he does it on someone else. Just allow him to do that in the way that he wants to do that with you. Amen. So thank you again for having me here, and I'll hand back over to Lyndon or the team. Yeah, the team there. Thank you, guys.
Let's stand together and sing.